This is an SBS radio podcast. Settlement Guide. Information, issues and stories about living in Australia.
One Nation Senator Malcolm Roberts accused the Bureau of Meteorology of fiddling its data to promote a climate change narrative during his questioning of the Weather Agency's director at a Senate estimates hearing. Senator Roberts took issue with a graph he said can no longer be accessed on the Bureau's website, which outlined the number of hot days from 1920 to 2015.
It can no longer be accessed. This graph goes against the narrative of the climate extremists, and it was removed. Would it have been removed, and I'll take this on notice too, was it removed because it goes against the narrative, or was it removed because it was an error?
The Bureau's Chief Executive, Dr. Andrew Johnson, said he had not seen the referred to graph, but rejected the idea the Weather Agency would adopt any such narrative.
Well, firstly, I reject the premise of your overarching question. The Bureau of Meteorology simply reports on the data in which we observe. The integrity of our data is of the highest order, and I stand absolutely 100% behind it.
The week also saw Labor again try to push for the Parliament to declare climate change as an emergency, with climate spokesman Mark Butler putting a motion in the House of Representatives.
This motion responds to the calls from more than 370,000 Australians who have participated in the largest e-petition to this Parliament ever, calling for this Parliament to recognise climate change as an emergency.
But there were only five opposition members in the chamber, leading Energy Minister Angus Taylor to brand the move as purely symbolic. Later in the week, Labor referred Mr Taylor to the New South Wales Police over accusations he'd used a fake document to score political points. The accusations stem from a letter Mr Taylor sent to Sydney Lord Mayor Clover Moore in September, criticising her council for excessive travel expenses. But it was later revealed the travel expenses Mr Taylor cited were $15 million higher than the council's real expenses, which were available online. During parliamentary question time, Mr Taylor defended his use of the document.
Mr Speaker, as I say, the document was drawn from the City of Sydney website and it was publicly available. Now, I reject the bizarre suggestions and assertions being peddled by those opposite.
He ended the week promising to write to the Lord Mayor and apologise for what he called not clarifying the numbers before he made the accusation. Meanwhile, controversial former union boss John Setka is no longer a member of the Labor Party after he abandoned his legal challenge against his expulsion. Labor leader Anthony Albanese attempted to remove the CFMMEU branch secretary from the party in June over comments he reportedly made about anti-domestic violence campaigner Rosie Batty. The union boss also pleaded guilty to harassing his wife last year. Mr Albanese said Mr Setka's position had become untenable.
Through his actions, he demonstrated values that were not consistent with the values which the Australian Labor Party holds dear. One of those values is respect for women.
The media freedom debate dominated question time earlier in the week, with Prime Minister Scott Morrison telling Parliament no one is above the law. The debate has been sparked by Australia's top media organisations uniting to warn audiences of the threats they face. Mr Morrison said people should not be prosecuted for their profession unless they break the law.
I do not believe that those decisions about who should be prosecuted at the end of the day should be made on the whim of politicians. I think they should be made based on the rule of law, Mr. Speaker.
Members on my left.
And the proper assessment of appropriately constituted law enforcement agencies.
Also this week, the Department of Finance figures showed a surge in unfunded superannuation liabilities, which increased from $183 billion to $233 billion, creating a shortfall of $50 billion, with the blowout blamed on record low interest rates. The liabilities are debts the federal government doesn't have money set aside for, yet include future payments to thousands of public servants, military workers, judges and MPs. Finance Minister Matthias Cormann said he was confident the fiscal situation would improve as the Future Fund, established in 2006, is designed to deal with the impact of such liabilities in the budget.
From our point of view, business as usual, but we rely on the Future Fund to continue to do, of course, its job to the best of its ability so that we can ultimately bridge that gap.
The week ended with Australia's agriculture ministers agreeing to a national approach to tackle climate change. Federal Agriculture Minister Bridget McKenzie and Drought Minister David Littleproud met with counterparts from all states and territories. The new climate change group will oversee the delivery of the program, regularly reporting to ministers on its progress. Federal Agriculture Minister Bridget McKenzie said it's important all ministers are working together.
There are some challenges in certain states at the moment, but being able to come together across political divides, across state and territory divides, to work out how we can best assist agriculture to grow and develop in this country is something we're all incredibly passionate about.
It was also announced that drought-affected farmers and businesses could soon be given an exemption from income tax. The proposal will be canvassed by the government's Expenditure Review Committee next week. It comes as Nationals MPs demanded the government introduce a new $1.3 billion drought relief package. The junior coalition partner presented a 10-point plan for cabinet consideration, with a proposal including a $10 million handout for every council in a drought zone. Deputy Labor Leader Richard Marles said if the government was serious about helping farmers, it would take up the Nationals package.
But if you're facing running out of water by Christmas, you would be horrified that all you can see going on from government right now is a whole lot of infighting between government MPs in Canberra.
Peggy Giacomelos, SBS News.
This was an SBS Radio podcast. For more Settlement Guide stories, visit sbs.com.au/radio.